Hey friends, real quick, just wanted to let you know that today's podcast is being sponsored by 25 Transportations and Solutions. That's 25 Transportation and Solutions, spelled T-W-E-N-T-Y, the number 5, I-V-E. They provide five-star logistics services for the Mid-Atlantic region. So, if you're in need of quality transportation delivery services that you can depend on, getting your freight to and from its destination all safe and secure, please contact 25 Transportation and Solutions by emailing them at info@25.org. That's info, I-N-F-O, at 25, T-W-E-N-T-Y, the number 5, I-V-E.org, or calling them at 240-479-6376. See you out on the road. Now let's get into today's episode of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast.
To you, and don't want no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Hey friends, we were asked, Brian and I, to be a guest on an amazing podcast, The Interracial Perspective, Maturity Not Included, with Elsie and Aaron. They inspired us and empowered us to partake of logical conversations as they asked us to please be ourselves. Here is Brian's and my conversation with the fabulous Elsie and Aaron.
Hey, hey, hey. Thank you for tuning in to a special episode of the Interracial Perspective Maturity Not Included podcast, a place where we discuss a wide range of topics from any to everything, but most importantly, a place to be yourself. I'm LC, and joining me as always is my lovely co-host, Aaron. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, LC. Welcome back, everybody.
In today's episode, we are joined by Brian and Denise of Diverse Love. Thank you so much for joining us. We are so excited to have you on this episode.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We are so excited as well, both LC and Aaron. We follow you guys and we love what you're doing. So thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you both.
Yeah, same, same. So let's dive right into it. Where are you guys from and where are you now?
So I am from the South. I'm from a little town outside of Tuskegee, Alabama, but living now in Virginia, the state of lovers is what they call it. But I'm originally from the South and a Southern girl all my life, but have traveled all over the world with our military duties and just being the wife of a military person and a veteran myself. So all over.
Oh, nice. Nice. Thank you for your service, both of you. Thank you.
And I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I went into the military and that's how we met. Because I got stationed at Fort Benning.
Thank you for your service.
I know somebody from Fort Benning.
I've been there. I did my basic training in Fort Benning. So I'm familiar with that area. And I actually liked it down there.
Yes, yeah. Aaron served as well.
Thank you for your service.
So I can already feel just from the intro and everything that there's going to be more discussions to be had. Now I'm going to have the
Now we're engaging, Aaron. This is going to be good. Now, wait a minute.
Well, because it's going to lead me to my first question, but I already have a few in there. But can you guys tell us something that's interesting about yourselves that most people wouldn't know that either follow you or will get to know about you?
Well, I'll go first. Being in the military, I was airborne infantry and went in and out of all kind of conflicts. Mm-hmm. But the last stint of my military career, I was chosen to work at the White House as the President's 100. And I stayed there for right at six and a half years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And got to meet a lot of people out of that. Yeah. Presidents is from Ford on up, because at that point, you know, they were still living. And also like Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, mm-hmm. Andrew Carr, people that are in the political field currently that mm-hmm. Were trying back then either to make a difference in their way or putting up roadblocks, because I've worked for two different administrations. So it was a Democrat and a Republican administration. So it was kind of weird being on both sides of the fence, because I was just providing communications and or security.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I know you guys kind of mentioned how you met. Did you want to talk a little bit more about that? And what was the initial reaction of your family and friends?
Yeah, so definitely. But can I tell y'all something interesting about me too?
Oh, sure. 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 Go right ahead.
I know his my life is not as interesting as his, but I was a veteran. I was in the Marine Corps. And one thing that people didn't know about me is I trained, did training to rappel from helicopters. So that was one thing about me that most people don't know. And it's crazy right now, because now I'm so afraid of heights. I'm afraid of flying. But back then I was doing fast repelling and all of these things. And then another thing is that we tried out for Family Feud. Me, my husband, and my kids, we all tried out for Family Feud.
We did not make it.
We were horrible.
Now, I have a question about that, because it's funny you mentioned that. Aaron, mm-hmm. Aaron can confirm this, but I used to want to go on Family Feud with my family. And like, I always thought that maybe it's staged, because some of the answers that people would give, it would be like, what?
No, it's not. And guess what? Check this out, Elsie. It is not like when you're sitting on your couch in your living room and you're looking at you think, and you get all the answers and you think you would just be doing so great. When you get there, everything falls out of your brain. Everything falls out of your brain. Like we auditioned for it. And I think we made like the second line audition, got into the second room of the auditioning, and we did horrible. Well, they did. I did great. They did horrible.
I don't think we were as enthusiastic as they wanted us to be.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I needed to hire a family, because my family didn't love it as much as I did. And they just was not, you know, they wanted you to be like excited and like over the top. And my family was just tugging along because I drugged them there. So I'm pretty sure if I had hired a more exciting family, we'd have made it.
It was hot as hell, and we were in, I was in a suit, and I was in a tie. Downtown Baltimore, standing outside waiting for our time to go in. It was terrible. And then when we got in there, I'm sweating. Had to take my jacket off. I think we had some pictures from that day too. We'll probably have to share them with you offline, but it was terrible.
But guess what? My friend, her and her family got in, and they went all the way on television, the whole thing. They missed like a couple questions, so they didn't get to go to the money round, but they went all the way. They did an awesome job.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So you should do it, Elsie. But make sure that either your family is exciting or you need to hire a couple people to stand in.
Oh no, they will be excited. My older sister. Yeah, my older sister, she is one that would have done it with us. It would have been Aaron, my older sister, myself, and I believe my mom probably would have done it. And
yes, your mom. Sure.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if you heard the episode with her. She would have been kind of.
We did. She's
we love your mom. We love your mom. Yes, she would have did great. They would have loved her.
Definitely something. Yeah, I don't know. How long ago was this?
Oh, gosh, that had to be what?
Where was we at? We were here.
We were here. So it has to be about five or six years ago.
5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's not that long ago. Because I kind of feel like reality TV has kind of taken a turn. I mean, we are not big watchers of it. We watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey. But the other stuff, we don't really watch. Like, we like the game shows, like Family Feud, and then we
That one that started in, like, it was an English lady that did it, The Weakest Link.
You know that I think they're trying to bring that back, or they did
bring it back, but we stopped watching
it. Was her voice for me. You are The Weakest Link.
Straight mean to him too. It's not even like bad. Like, just no, you suck, get off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something I would like to do if we worked as a team to get the weakest people out at the beginning and not get the smartest people out. I can understand if you got the smartest people out in the last three rounds, but we're trying to make money. So yeah, it's weird how, I don't know if it's just for the theatrics or how you say you had to be more enthusiastic about it. I don't,
because they want to make for good television. So I mean, my favorite, and I apologize for the sirens, guys, we live right next door to like fire stations and so forth. So we apologize at all. But they want people that are very enthusiastic. Like, I love game shows. Like, I love Name That Tune with Jamie Foxx. I love The Price is Right. I loved Jeopardy. I'm a huge, huge gaming person. Now, reality TV, you said something about Housewives. I don't really get into that part of reality TV too much, but I love food competition. I am a huge RuPaul Drag Race fanatic. And huge, like to the point where I'm trying to figure out what makeup they're wearing. I'm like buying it. I'm like crazy over the top. Every season has watched 100 times.
She's got me into it. It's kind of funny. It's like,
we love it. I just can't stop. My whole family,
I'm rooting for these different people. I don't even know who they are on the planet.
Everyone. We love it so much. My family will tell you, don't call her. She's watching RuPaul. So yeah. So those are the type of reality shows and gaming shows and stuff that I love. But like the Housewives and stuff, I don't get into it because I see the drama and I feel like that couldn't be real. No one could live like that every day where there's so much drama.
I agree with you 100%. That's why we only watch Real Housewives of New Jersey, because I feel like that is just scripted completely. Me personally, when they're arguing, I feel like they're just, when they say cut, they're all laughing like, good job. Good job. The rest of them, I've seen an episode here and there, but it's not something that I have consistently watched like the Real Housewives of New Jersey, because they're definitely acting.
Well, and I also feel like even if that is the kind of drama, like, what kind of person are you that welcomes it? Like, at some point, do you just stand up and be like, I don't need this shit, and just go away?
I can't do this no more. My stomach hurts.
Right. And that's why I say I think it's scripted, because like you said, no one puts up with this mess. If you're constantly arguing with someone who's trying to destroy your family or life, why are you friends with them? So I get it, but it's so, Teresa on the Real Housewives of New Jersey is so entertaining to me. She just has me in tears.
I think that's what it is though, Aaron and Elsie. I think that it comes down to, it's just entertainment. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what I think it comes
for that one. I've seen some of the other ones, and some of the stuff that goes on is kind of malicious, and I can't watch that type of stuff. But moving right along. So
we got off topic.
I know you guys touched on how you met. So did you want to dive into that deeper? And what was the initial reaction of your family and friends?
Sure. So my husband and I had a mutual friend, and go ahead, honey, you want to go ahead and tell it, you want me to tell it? It was a blind date. Okay. So it was a blind call. It was a blind call. It was cold calling. You know how the salespeople do cold calling. That's what it was. And we had a mutual friend who was in the military. At the time, I was a civilian. I was out of the military. And I had a friend who was in the Army on Fort Benning. And my husband got stationed there, and he met him, and he asked him if he knew any girls or any nice girls that he could hang out with or call. And of course, my mutual friend back then, you know, that was 30 years ago. He had the little black book. And my friends now tease me that my name was in a little black book. But my name was in the book as friend. I was the friend in the black book. And so he showed him these numbers. And I guess he told him not to call me. He said, don't call her, because that's my friend and she don't play that and she'll get very upset.
So you know what I did, right? I called her because she was just a friend. I could have a chance.
And what did I do when you called?
She hung up on me. She didn't even ask. I said, hey, I said, you're friends with this particular guy. We're not going to put his name out there, but this particular guy. I was like, I live in the barracks. I was seeing if you want to go out. She clicked.
Yep. Just hung up.
And so how did you actually end up connecting then?
Well, he called back a couple of times and I cursed him out, hung up on him. And I called my friend and I'm like, why did you give this dude my number? I don't know him. You know, I don't play like that. I'm very particular about people calling me. And I was a single mom. So, I have to be very careful about my child. And, you know, and he was like, I didn't give it to him. What do you mean he called you? And so then I learned later that they got into a little tiff because he's like, why did you call her? I told you not to call her. But he was persistent. He just kept calling for a few days.
And you know what happened? I called her today when she needed to vent. You know, that's how it works. And I sat and I listened to her and listened to her and listened to her. And about 5 hours later, we were still on the phone.
We were still on the phone.
And it was late or early the next morning.
Yeah. He called me. I had a really bad day at work. It was just everything seemed like it was going crazy. And he called. And when I picked up the phone, I'm like, what do you want? Why are you still calling me? He was like, oh, you sound like you had a bad day. You want to talk to me about it? And so I did. And we ended up on the phone until 4 a.m.
And then Friday, she came out and visited me at the barracks. Mm-hmm. And 4 months later, we were married.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that, quick, right?
Very fast.
I was saying, if I'm not mistaken, it's been some years now.
31.
31 years.
Congratulations.
31 years. Thank
congratulations.
You. But can you imagine meeting someone over the phone, arguing for 3 days, then talking for 3 or 4 days, and then meeting, and then 4 months later, being married? I tell people that and they go, I would kill my child if they ever did that. But no one knew. We eloped. So no one even knew.
If my children would do it, I'd probably get married in 4 months. I'm saying you can meet somebody over the phone, but get married in 4 months. I don't know how that works, but it worked out well for us, but maybe not others. I don't know.
Yeah. And our kids, our family, we're highly dysfunctional. So many flaws we can't even comprehend at the moment, but we love them to life. But they always say we can't believe that. Well, we waited way later to tell them that we only dated for 4 months, way later. And they talk to us and tease us about it now. Like, you guys can't even tell us what to do. Y'all were married at 4 months and nobody even knew.
That's so cool, though. Now, in this time, have you guys experienced any discrimination or racial profiling?
Oh, yeah.
In the 31 years?
Oh, yeah.
We got married in
Georgia.
It was a Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's attached. Well, as you know, Aaron is attached to like Phoenix City, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is the line there is very, if back then it was in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. If you were black, you dealt with black people and black establishments. Yeah. If you were white, you were dealing with white people and white establishments.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was pretty intense. Not the fact that you got it all the time, but you could get it 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Going different places and seeing different things.
We've even had to choose which one of us would go into an establishment when we were living there.
To get something to eat.
To get something to eat or to sign up for something or to rent an apartment. You know, he's white, so honey, you go in and you handle it. You know what I mean? Because they would treat him different and they would be more receptive to him. But we've also been in places where were black establishments that did not want to deal with white people, where I would have to go in and deal with them. So yeah, we've had some scary moments sometimes. And then we've had some moments where people are just, I think people sometimes just don't understand the whole interracial perspective. And so some of them, they feel like they have to be mean or they have to hate it in order to understand, or they just don't say anything. Or they feel like they have ownership. Like, you know, we've had some of our Black or African-American population to call me sellouts or call me a traitor, You know, we've had some white people to tell my husband he was an N lover, the N word, you're an N lover. And I think that in those perspectives, people just hate out of fear, not really understanding. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Wow. Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all. And my view on that is the fact that black, white, or whatever, why are you mad? Because it's not like they would have been with you. Right. So you're mad
because that wasn't in your preference or your choice. So why are you upset about it? You know, because we all have our preference. That's the beauty about being not just in America, but just being human. You know, we have choices and we have our perspective and our preferences of who we want to be with. And whoever that person is that makes you happy, be happy with that person and not hate the fact that someone else chose someone else.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. We were only in that situation, I would say, for about 2.5 years at Fort Benning. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Italy. Mm-hmm. And when we went to Italy, it was a different culture. It wasn't as I'll let you guys know, it's not as bad as the United States on mm-hmm. when it comes to racial discrimination. Mm-hmm. It's out there, but mm-hmm. it's not that bad. You know,
it's in pockets, but it's in pockets.
But the one thing that my wife had to get used to when we moved to Italy, and this isn't a bad thing, but I had to teach her because I had been there for several months before she came, was people stare, and they don't stare because it's their culture. They're just looking at you. They're either trying to see you or mm-hmm. admire you or that. They don't stare just because they're talking about you. Like a lot of times here, some people stare because they're trying to figure you out. Mm-hmm. Over there, they're staring it's almost like a compliment. They're trying to figure out mm-hmm.
who you
are.
It's the beauty of it.
They come up and talk to you at some point, but most of the time when people...
But you know, me coming from America and seeing people stare at me like that, especially as a Black person, you go into defense mode. You know what I mean? Because you don't understand the culture. Once we understood the culture, it was fine. But we ran into things right here in the DMV where we were pulled over by a policeman. I don't know, were we speeding or ran a red light or
we were sitting and they pulled up.
Oh, they pulled up behind us. Yep. We were sitting waiting on something and the police pulled up behind us. And we had just left. I don't know if you ever heard of a restaurant called Fogo de Chao, but
yes,
amazing. So you know how much you can eat there, right? So we had just left there and we had left to go pick up something else and we're waiting in the parking lot for it. And I had my head laid back because I had ate so much food and I'm laying with my head back with my eyes closed and the police pulls up beside us and comes to my husband's window. And he says, you know, he starts drilling my husband about why are y'all sitting here? Where are you on your way to? Where'd you pick her up at? So they thought I was a prostitute.
Oh, and, wow.
Or he assumed I was a prostitute.
Yeah, because that's the way they worded it. And then he asked for my ID. Mm-hmm. And I said, when we went into the restaurant, I had told her to put my wallet in her purse, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, hold on a second. Because when he asked for my ID, I was like, hold on a second. I said, baby, can you get my wallet? And she reached down in her purse. And he still was giving us hell. Yeah. How am I going to give something to a prostitute?
Right.
My whole wallet?
He assumed because this white man was sitting in this neighborhood with this Black woman who had her head laid back that I was a prostitute. And it was very demeaning, very demeaning. I remember when it was all over and he left, my husband grabbed my hand and I just started crying. And I'm like, I just don't understand people. I don't understand why we assume the worst first of whatever it is. Not even to say that a prostitute is the worst. That's their line of living. So where are we going with this? Right. You know, I just don't understand none of that. But those are some of the things that we've had to endure. But the worst thing we've had to endure probably is how some adults have treated our children. And we can get into that later because I know you have other questions. But yeah, that was one of the things too as well.
Oh, no, you can go right ahead because that was actually going to be a question that I leaned into is how has it been for your children?
So if someone asks me about interracial marriage or perspective of that, I would say just be sure. Love who you love because that's what we're supposed to do. There should be no rules around who you love if that love is receptive other than the moral rules, you know. you know what I'm saying? But as far as just love in general, love who you love, but just be very, very sure. I think we did a post on this on one of our Truth and Coffee segment by our choice to be with each other has left, you know, us lonely a lot of times as far as friends and family, because, you know, they don't understand the whole, you know, she's Black, he's white thing. And then we've had adults who have attacked our children and told them that they were jungle bunnies and you don't know who you are. And they were kids. Like my middle daughter was, I think, in elementary school when an adult told her she couldn't play with their kids. You know, you're a jungle bunny, go back where you to your, y'all don't even know who y'all are, you know. My daughter she was a kid, and you know, you associate bunnies with happy stuff, right? So she literally thought this lady was calling her something nice because she called her a jungle bunny, you know. And you know, we didn't go into it with her, but of course that was devastating for us because this was, you know, a neighbor of ours. They didn't really speak to us, but they had kids the same age as my kids. And the kids liked each other. It was the parents that didn't want them to be associated with us. And we've had that on both sides. That was a Black family, but we've had white families that didn't want their kids to play with our kids as well, because we were, you know, an interracial couple. So I just say, you know, be sure when you step into it, because it's not just about you and what you're doing. If you're deciding to have a family as well, you got to make sure that you're able to protect your family.
Right. Yeah, my grandmother didn't support it. My grandmother on my dad's side didn't support it. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother on my mom's side had no problem.
Yeah, she was so amazing.
Yeah, so it's two different perspectives. Yeah, I mean, they kind of disowned me. My dad's side kind of disowned me because I married outside my race. Mm-hmm. But then her biggest thing was that we were going to have Black children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So his grandmother on his father's side, she disowned him. Like it was heartbreaking.
Now 20 years passed. Well, it wasn't even 20. It was like 15. Mm-hmm. I would say about 15.
15 years. Was 15.
Mm-hmm. Like 15 years had passed and she finally met my wife. Mm-hmm. And in that, she had, when she passed, when my grandmother passed, we, you know, my dad went through all her stuff and he was sending books and different things to us. But she had all the pictures that my wife had sent her over the 15-year period. Mm-hmm. It was like 15, 16 years. Mm-hmm. And what she said and what she was doing was two different things.
Yeah. Aaron, we feel like, we always talk about this and feel like she felt like she was protecting who she was around the people who she were. You know, they all didn't like Black people. And that was her circle. And so she had to go alone. But the whole 15 years, even after she disowned my husband, and he was devastated. I mean, for months, like he was depressed about it. But we stood our ground because we're a unified front. But, you know, and he would apologize to me, you know, profusely all the time. And I would tell him, no, I'm going to kill her with kindness. I'm just going to kill her with kindness. And so every time, holiday, every event, every milestone, I would send her pictures. I would send her kind notes. I would send her little letters. I would not allow her to hate me, you know, and I wanted her to understand that color is that boundary for us. We can still be a family. We can still have love. And so I would send her all this stuff. And so 15 years later, after she's disowned my husband and has not spoken to him, his father had invited us to come to his house and he said she was going to be there. And we came, she was there. I hugged her and she was shaking. I mean, literally I could feel her body trembling. And when we hugged and I pulled back, I put her arm on my arm and I said, see, my skin doesn't rub off on you. I'm still who I am and you're still who you are. And she just started weeping and we go to her house and we find that she has been keeping all my letters, all my cards, all the kids' pictures are in these books that she is keeping.
Like photo albums.
Yeah. And so for 15 years, she allowed herself not to love on her grandparents because of hate. Who can sit and hate that long? That just doesn't make any sense.
So did it change after that point in time?
Or? Yes, it did.
It changed, but she ended up getting sick. Alzheimer's there shortly. I would say maybe a year and a half after that. And
she passed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't know too much after that.
Condolences.
Yeah.
That's been several years back, but it's just, that's crazy though. Right.
And this family just, you know, I've also had friends of mine who was in the church with me, who stopped talking to me in the church. We've had churches to tell us that being an interracial couple is a sin, that you're not supposed to marry outside your race. You know, we've had churches that didn't want us to be a part of their church because of that.
Oh, wow. I do find that to be so strange. Like, at what point do you realize that just because somebody's skin tone or anything, really, how does that really impact you to say statements or act a certain way with that?
I have no idea. We've never been that type of person to judge people on who they're with, unless it's something morally wrong. Like, you know, if you're dating a kid or something, or something's crazy, or, you know, it has to be something that's morally wrong with it. You know, that's the only time that but other than that, like, you love who you love. That's it. You love who you love. It should be as simple as that, but it's not always as simple as that.
No, it's not.
I mean, we have issues too with our kids. We say you love who you love, but of course, if they got with someone that was dangerous or bad for them, or introducing bad things to them, we have pause for that. And we try to explain to them that we're not judging you who you love. We're judging what that person is bringing to the table for you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which I think is a big difference on what people don't take away from statements like that. Because I know, Elsie, and I, sorry if I'm speaking too much for you, Elsie, on that, is one of the things that we are very common in is we don't dislike anyone except for who they are as a person versus, you know, what their makeup is. Because it doesn't make sense. Now, if you're doing hellacious things or you're just a mean, nasty person, I have the right to dislike you. No matter what your skin color is, your gender, whatever it is, we have that right. But that's because you as a person is just not a good person. And it's so weird that people can misconstrue the two all the time.
Right. I agree.
We talked the other day and we were saying, and I don't know how your experiences have been, but in the Black community, when she brought me into her actual family and different things, I'm not saying everybody was comfortable with it, like to the point where they were comfortable with me being in the environment. They weren't comfortable with me marrying her because of the troubles that it would bring. Mm-hmm. But on my side, they weren't comfortable with her being in the environment. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's almost like the white family is fearful of what that might bring on any level. And the Black family was more, they're not fearful. They're
because
just,
we always know to survive. It's like the Black family, it's like, you can come to the cookout, but we watching you.
Yeah. Right.
Which
some kind of cream, you know, but I'm gonna watch you eat them though.
Yeah, we watching you.
Which I have to say, from that perspective, Elsie's family, open arms, never been an issue for us.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. And I do have to believe on the same side, mine was with you as well, Elsie.
Yes, we're very diverse. My mother is Afro-Latino, specifically Dominican, but we're Black. My dad is from West Africa, but he wasn't a big part of our lives. But my family is very open-minded. When they first met Aaron, well, it's funny, they thought he was Puerto Rican, but Aaron actually is Jewish and Italian. And what's funny about it is that his family, I'm not sure if you heard Patty's interview, but she's actually from Brazil. So they often call us the United Nations. I don't know, like everybody that is surrounded by us or we're surrounded by are very diverse. I'm not sure if it has to do with the time or drawing yourself to people that are just willing to be open-minded and positive.
Or like-minded, because I feel like people that are in situations are open-minded to anything and understand that it is for the person, not who the person is.
We tend to have the same
kind of background, like where it's, you know, I feel like we can easily just talk to you two. Like there's just a sense of there's no judgment in the air about anything. And a lot of people have some kind of judgment in the back of their mind, no matter what the cause is. And when you find that, it tends to be a lot of diversity around that, because a lot of people that are about like just, you know, interracial couples or anything like that, they don't care. This is my perspective, so I could be wrong.
Right.
People that are willing to date, you know, outside their race or be friends with anybody outside their race tend to not care about anything unless it's directed at them. Like, you're going to treat me some kind of way? We ain't friends. Like,
that has nothing to do with color. That's just you. If you're an asshole, it doesn't matter what color you are. We just don't want to deal with that.
Right.
I just got one question, Aaron. When you got introduced, did they call you Poppy?
No.
Hey, Poppy.
What's funny is Aaron actually does look like he could be Puerto Rican.
I know, that's what you were saying. That's why I was saying it.
He has his hair drawn out.
They asked me a lot of times, specifically, was it your sister asked me all the time, did I have color contacts in?
Because his eyes change his colors.
Okay. Yeah, he's got hazel eyes.
Mm-hmm. No, he actually has green, blue, and gray.
Okay.
Wow. They change based on what he's wearing.
Knocking them down.
Well, you know, Aaron, a lot of people say that when they meet my husband, they say, we didn't even know he was white. We thought he was light skinned. And we never know sometimes if that's a joke or if that's what makes them comfortable.
When we were younger, I walk into a bank and get a loan, right? And then if I was doing it over the phone, I didn't get the loan. So I figured.
Yeah, that was the other thing. That was the other thing. Hey. So we've encountered where people say, oh, I thought he talked black and you talk white. And we're like, how do you talk a color?
That I never understood that. Yeah. But as far as like the relationship, we haven't experienced that, just with Aaron's one of your friends.
Yeah, which was the bizarre statement I had ever heard. You know,
you tell.
We were me and Elsie were talking, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have you meet one of my. She was a very close friend. We did a lot of shit together. We would go out to like drinking, things like that when you do at a younger age. Mm-hmm. And the first statement was, you know, he's black, right? I'm like, no, I didn't know. I couldn't see that. I'm
sorry. Oh my God.
Like your parents are gonna see that he's black. I'm like, okay, what is it? I was so baffled. I'm like, okay.
And not if you only watched the podcast. Right?
It was just a bizarre statement. Like, no, I wouldn't have known that. I've been hanging out with him and everything. Like, what the hell?
It reminds you, this was 16 years ago.
Yeah, we've encountered that. We've encountered where my husband used to work with this guy, white guy, and they were working odd jobs together. And my husband don't readily just tell people, oh, I'm married to a black woman. Like that just doesn't make sense, you know? He introduced him to me for something. I forget where we were, what we were doing, but he introduced him to me and he was like, oh shit, you're black.
I was like, oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, and you're white. I said, so now we got that out of the way. How you doing?
Well, and I think that maybe I could be wrong, but once you're in it for the right reasons and you don't see that type of stuff, why is that something that you have to even consider saying? It's like, okay, this is my husband, LC. Why do I have to put any other statement behind it?
My husband, LC, he's black. Like,
well, the kicker with Aaron is that when people meet me, they always think that Aaron is married to a woman because, I mean, Aaron, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to offend anyone, but Aaron isn't like, you would not expect Aaron to be
gay.
We get it.
Mm-hmm. We get it.
So, we have friends that are exactly
like Aaron to the team.
We go to basketball games. We do all kinds of stuff. Yeah. We play basketball. We're always together, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they find out they're gay, they're like, what?
What? He likes basketball.
But he likes basketball.
And that goes into the stereotype that they have for the LGBTQ community. But the thing about it is that everyone is always, well, oh, Aaron, bring your wife. And he'll say, well,
yeah.
Yeah. Then you show up, right?
Yeah,
we but then a lot of people think that my name is like Elsa or something like that. So I don't know if that confuses them, but I'm like, I don't know where you're
keep getting. Keep them on their toes.
Yeah,
keep them
on their toes. We totally get it. We have amazing friends that are exactly like that. That we have one friend, like I said, he's like a basketball fanatic, a sports fanatic. He works out the whole nine yards, and he's gay. And people just assume, you know, that he's not. Not to say that it's not that it's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just that shows you that stereotypes just doesn't, you know, judgment and stereotypes doesn't make sense. It doesn't always match who you truly are. So exactly. That just gives you that level of, you know, hey,
right.
Just get to know the person. Quit trying to figure mm-hmm. out what they are. And, you know,
so. Right. So what advice yeah. or suggestions would you give to individuals in interracial relationships that face challenges and obstacles?
I would say, from my perspective, be yourself first mm-hmm. And don't apologize for it. You are who you are.
Yeah.
I would say the second thing would be to protect each other mm-hmm. first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Take on that person's feelings. If you do not understand their environment holistically, don't tell them about it. I mean, because you can get, we have been in arguments earlier in our life mm-hmm. because I didn't understand her position in life
and how
as a Black female. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, but I can't tell her that because I've never walked in her shoes, you know, and she's never walked in my shoes. Now we have this thing that we always go back and forth with, and it's going to be on one of our podcasts, and it's called His Privilege, Her Plight. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk through how that works. But I would just say, just be yourself, enjoy each other, know that things are going to come your way. How you protect each other within that trial mm-hmm. means a whole bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys can talk about it later, mm-hmm. but protect the person yeah. wholeheartedly through the issue that you're going
to
have.
And be open to learn. You have to be open to learn. You can't, I would say, don't be blinded by love so much that you think love is going to take care of it, you know, of it, all of it. If you're in an interracial marriage or relationship or even a friendship, loving the person is not enough. You have to also understand that person's culture so you don't offend. You have to understand what they have to go through in their culture so you can may not sympathize with them, but you can empathize them. And if you're going into a commitment, into a relationship, you got to be sure, because that then affects everything else that seeds from you, like your children or, you know, your parents or the grandparents, you know, how people treat your family or how people treat your children. You got to think all of that through. It would be very selfish of us to be in a relationship and think, oh, this is our little world, our little bubble. I'm Black, you're white, and no one's going to bother us and no one's going to bother the kids. That is a very selfish assumption when we live in a world who thinks that they have a right to say anything and everything in what you're doing. So you can't go into it thinking that you're not going to have to protect, unite, confront, and repeat. You know, you just can't do that. And then right. You got to be able to just stay unified, just stay a unified front. We are a team. So whatever hate you're doing toward us, just remember, you're going to be out of breath soon, because we still going to be here. We're a team. And until God says not so, you know, so I think the biggest advice is have an open mind. Our Truth and Coffee came out of us. You guys are just getting a piece of it now, but we've been doing it for years. That's how we've been able to learn each other. We sit down, have coffee, because we love coffee so much. And we start talking. And some of those conversations are so emotional and so heated, you know. My husband has had to endure being pulled over by a cop with his Black son in the car, and the cop treating my son some type of way. And my husband had to come to his defense, or either the cop treating my husband perfect and my son sit over there not breathing. And when the cop leaves, my son bust into tears because he's like, oh, my God, I didn't know what was going to happen. But since you're white, Dad, he treated us nice. So how you have to think about all that stuff that can happen if you're in it for the long haul.
That's definitely great advice. Yeah, I like that, especially from people that have gone so long as well, which shows that you can create a nice home front that can make it. Because I feel like some people might not think it's possible, which leads me to a question on, can you tell us about your upcoming podcast and what made you want to start it?
Well, so we've thought about it off and on for a while, but then we start getting like people coming into our lives and listening to us talk and talk about deep conversation. They go, oh my gosh, y'all should have a podcast. People may want to hear that, or people who are stepping into that interracial phase may want to hear some of your stories. And it's not always about us. Sometimes it's about other perspectives. So now here we are, almost 100, and we're going to try and do this podcast.
I think it spun off of that Truth and Coffee, and her when she started really pushing her, putting her foot down on the Diverse Love platform, and we would post the Truth and Coffee. And I think at that point we were getting a lot of feedback and saying, yeah, you guys should just do a podcast.
Or go deeper into it, you know, talk more about, because the post, you only could give so much. And so they would say, well, y'all should do a podcast so you could go deeper into it. And so we just started thinking about it. And we started thinking about it. And to be very honest with you guys and complete transparency, we were completely on the fence until you guys reached out to us and asked us if we would be a guest. And you were the first person that I actually put it in black and white and typed to and said, could we talk about our podcast on your podcast?
Yes.
You were the very first people, because we were completely on the fence about it.
Right.
Well, Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry, Aaron. You can go.
I was just going to say, one of the things that you mentioned too that I like is that you guys sit down and have just open conversations about things, no matter what it is. And that's one thing Elsie and I have always been able to do. And I like other people being able to say that is, if you can't be truthful with the one you're with and learn from whatever you're saying and be able to say whatever it is so that they can either educate you or you can learn from it, you're not going to be able to change or have a true open relationship on conversations. So I just want to give a shout out to that, because we hold that very strong. Like, there's no one else that we can just say whatever's on our mind to. And it was nice hearing you guys say that as well.
Yeah.
And and you're definitely not going to agree. We definitely don't agree. Sometimes we have to put the coffee down, take a break, come back. You're definitely not going to agree, but how beautiful it is that you both have your own perspectives and you're learning from each other, and you're even able to talk to each other and be very candid and be very transparent, no matter how, you know, that conversation turns. What an amazing way to learn. An amazing way.
Have you guys ever been in a situation where you disagree until you hear each other's opinion of it and you get another, you know, view from it, and then you can say, all right,
plenty of times. Aaron has, I will have a position and I will explain my position, and Aaron will explain his position and the reason why. And it would make sense to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, we do the same thing. That. Yeah.
Yeah, it's never been like a fight or anything. It's just like, oh, okay, I disagree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's growth. That's how you grow as a person. It's amazing.
No, go ahead, Aaron, please.
I do think a lot of people are afraid to just say, you know what, I've changed my mind. You made me see a different point.
Oh, you hit it on the, you hit it. Yeah. Our pride gets in the way. I'm one of them. I'm the one in this relationship. Me. That's it. I was just about to say, until you get one of those people like me who won't back down, and it takes a day or two for me to come back to the table and say, you were right.
And I'll agree with that. I'm going to agree with that.
I don't think we have like that with us, because I'm someone that likes to learn or hear other people's perspective as long as it makes sense. Aaron and I, that's how our conversations are. Like, a lot of people probably think that we'd be joking or are exaggerating when we say we've never had a fight. It's because we just talk like we talk. Like,
well, and we do have a fair stance of, okay, we can agree to disagree. Like,
like, I have an example that I can share. Is
do tell.
There's this show on Investigation Discovery, or maybe it's A&E, one of those networks that used to come on called Crimes Gone Viral. And there was one episode that a guy had broke into this house and he had a shotgun and was pointing the gun at the guy to give them all their belongings. And so the guy started fighting with him to keep him from shooting him. And his girlfriend or wife or whatever she was at the time was just sitting on the couch watching. So I'm screaming at the TV, you need to get up and help him, like do something, do something. So Aaron position, which you can explain for yourself, Aaron, if you like.
I just feel like not everybody's going to have that mentality in them. So even though I would have been disappointed if that was Elsie sitting on the couch, I'm not going to be mad because her initial instinct was flight. So she ran into the other room. People aren't built that same way. And I don't think it would be detrimental, but I would be upset at the end to be watching that back going, where were you? But that's just not in her mind. Because Elsie, you know, somebody knock on our door at whatever hour, we both have bats going to it. That's the mentality I think everybody should have, is like, okay, let's jump them together, not watch the other one get taken down. But not everybody has that.
So do you know what both me and my husband just did while y'all were telling that story? We pointed to your question, loyalty. Does your loyalty come into question at that very moment when you decided to flight instead of fight?
Exactly. And that's why I disagreed, because what?
Now Aaron's situation is he already knows that about his significant other sitting on the couch. Before you get there, you're already going to know, I've married a flight person. You got to think. I mean, it didn't happen. That isn't the first time you went down this road. Maybe it's the first time somebody broke in the house and was, you know, maybe she was behind it. Maybe she said, hey, look, break in the house. We'll kill old boy. We don't know, but that we were having a problem because with the loyalty question, because we were thinking, it depends.
Yeah, it's so many different situations there.
It depends on your beliefs. Mm-hmm. It depends on your standards.
Yeah.
It depends on how long you've known this person. It depends on all these different things. So we were like, I said, yeah, that's a loaded question. These are the questions that you guys say, hey, look, you can say you don't want to answer it or not. But yeah, but your loyalty is built off your beliefs and your standards that you are actually sharing with the people that you feel are loyal to you.
Yeah. And Aaron, to your side, you're probably right. He probably knew that she was a flight person, which is why he probably jumped up to get the gun and wrestle the person down. But he's like, I know my wife or girlfriend is probably not going to do that. But
go get a pot, go get a pan.
Elsie's thing, I probably would have got up, went and got something and tried to hit him or something. I would have been
definitely. You know, because I would have been in it.
Yeah, I just would have been in it, because once it's all over, I would be looking at my partner like, you didn't even try to protect. And I don't know, that might cause a rift between us now going on. You know, I don't know.
But not only that, think about it. If he was successful, what do you think he's going to do to you? The gun will be turned on you. And that was my whole point, is you guys got to both help. Like, if he is successful at shooting this guy, he's going to turn the gun to you next. I disagree. I can see both sides.
In my defense, because I know LC, if that were to happen, I'd be pissed. But I know it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, you know that won't happen. I'm right there fighting with you.
Well, you know how his mama raised him, Aaron. So you know that ain't going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. Not at all. Hey,
you guys want to hear a true story? This is a true story. This has got loyalty all written all over it.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Am I okay with this story? No,
I'm talking about you. But when my middle daughter was younger, I think she was about 12 or 13 years old, she had she was having a problem with one of the other little girls in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And the little girl brought like 30 people to our house.
Yeah, they was doing like a little fight scene or something.
And they were all out front and everything. And so when we walked outside, we were looking, and I walked back in the house.
But wait, let me preference why so many kids was at our house. She had posted on Facebook or No, it wasn't Facebook at the time. It was MySpace or something that she had posted that she was about to come to our house, come and see this fight. She's about to fight my daughter.
Gonna whoop her tail or something, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when they all came up to the house, my daughter tried to get out the house. So I just grabbed her. Mm-hmm. And I walked her back in the house while my wife and I think it was my oldest daughter's and her boyfriend were standing out there talking to him. And it was getting rowdy. But I was in the house with my youngest daughter. Mm-hmm. And when my wife turned around and came in after everybody had left, she came in and she was yelling at me.
Because I took care of the crowd.
Yeah. Because she came in like I flighted. Mm-hmm. You hear me? She goes, why weren't you out? Why are you bleeding?
So he had been inside struggling, holding my daughter down because she was fighting him to get outside to fight her. Because he was like, Mom, she was like, Dad, if I don't fight, she's going to continue to bother me. And then I have to go to school tomorrow and people are going to be talking about me. So she was in that mode. So he was in there holding her down and she was fighting him. And she had bust his lip because her head had
hit. My tooth went down through my lip. My nose is bleeding. Yeah. And my wife came in. She says, where were you at? Why are you bleeding from your face?
but the moral to that story is I stood out there with that crowd and handled it. And in my mind, my husband wasn't there to help me. And I know that's not the type of person he is. So I was angry. I was upset. And when I walked in the house, I'm like, why are you in here? And why weren't you out here? And why are you bleeding?
Yeah, I got the punishment. But the loyalty was there. It just wasn't reciprocated. Mm-hmm. She didn't understand what I was doing to help. Mm-hmm. So, but it was.
I like that. That's a good example. Yeah,
I got beat down that day by a young 12-year-old.
So I have another question. Tell us about your children's book and what inspired you to write a children's book.
So I'm trying to do this without being emotional. So I have, right now we have 8 grandchildren and 1 on the way. So we'll have 9 grandchildren by the year 2022. We've told them to get a hobby, but
they did. In their defense, they did.
But I have coined my grandchildren ever since my first grandson was born, and he'll be 15 this year. So for 15 years, I have called them my grandjoys, and I've called them that their whole lives. And I always talk about my grandjoys to my friends and to my colleagues, and you know. And I've gotten so many compliments on people like, oh my God, I love that you call them that. I love that term. And I've even had friends who are now grandparents who refer to their kids as their grandjoys. And so I have a really close friend that we've been friends
with. I don't mean to interrupt you, but make sure you trademark that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I have a really good friend who we've been friends for about 20 years. And four plus years ago, she was like, you know, you should really write a book about your grandjoys. You should really write a children's book. And I'm like, yeah. And then COVID hit and she authored a children's book. And now she has 2 children books out. And she approached me and she said, well, it's time. I'm ready. Let's collaborate. You're going to get this children's book out. And we're going to have something out there so your grandjoys know how much you love them and how much joy that you've brought to them. And they'll always have that with them. And that's how the children book came about. I've since started writing a second one as well. But this one hopefully will be released toward the end of September, first part of October. But that's how it came about. All the stories that my grands bring me grand joy. And that's how it came about.
I love it.
And so many of us now, we're gonna have so many stories.
And that kind of leads us into this next segue where we're going to ask you guys a couple questions from some of our previous or upcoming shows. With the first one is, what is your definition of friendship?
So for me, we talked about this and we talk about friendship all the time because we're really big on relationships. Friendships are levels. There's tiers to friendships. And we think that there are your inner circle, your most inner circle of friends who you can be yourself. You can tell them everything. They can tell you anything. Y'all can be critical of one another. But it's your inner circle, the one that cheers you on, the one that you cheer on. and the one that you can really just kind of let your hair down. And then there's that outer layer circle of friends who may just be there for a moment in time or for a reason or a season. It doesn't mean that they're not as close of friends as you. It's just that they were there for a reason or a season. And those friends too, you can pick up the phone at any time and just pick up where you left off, but they're not always in your inner circle to see what everything is going on. And then there's that third layer of friends that are kind of proxies from all the other friends you have that you can be with for a minute to do certain things and then you move on. But friendship definitely comes in layers. And friendship is one of those things where we can have a space where we feel protected. We feel protected. That's my definition of friendship.
I agree with that. I would second that. I also say that you pick up friends from different parts of life, like let's say from your school days to like when you went into the military or when you moved to different areas. And like for me, I don't know how you guys are, but I maybe have a handful of friends. I don't have a lot of friends that I can actually lean on and they can lean on me. Mm-hmm. Because I guess the trust not there or we just fall out. Also friendship, if you haven't talked to somebody in 2 years, like I've had friends that we've been separated because of military. They went somewhere, we went somewhere and we didn't, you know, keep up with each other. But if we talk on the phone, it's like we never left each other's side. Mm-hmm. That's a friendship too. It could be even a separated or long distance friendship. So, and you can also be friends within your relationship. Me and my wife, we're best friends.
Yeah.
And we, you know, go through life and attack problems and rejoice and have fun and do everything. And we're also friends, we're partners in life. And I wouldn't change that either.
And we're each other's inner circle. And you have to be very particular about who you let in your inner circle, because that's your core. Exactly. You know, what happens, those layers that happen outside your core, you can maneuver. But that core, you have to be very, very particular who you let in that core.
Yep, I agree. I agree. And I love it. Aaron is my best friend. And we talk about everything, anything. We can do anything together. And it's just, outside of that, we have three close friends that like,
right.
You just hit it on the nail. You can go without seeing each other for years. But when you talk, it's like, oh, it's like we just talked yesterday.
Yep.
Because that's how the friendship is.
I got a question for you guys. If let's say Aaron had a friend and you both are very close to that friend, but their significant other doesn't mesh. How do you interact with that?
Yeah, we've had that situation.
I mean, the advice that I can give is if you're cordial, if the friendship is worth salvaging, you would be cordial. You don't have to go deep into getting to know the spouse of the person that you're friends with if you don't like them. I mean, Aaron can speak for this, but we haven't had that experience because two of our close friends, they're both single and they don't want to get married or have kids and they're very happy with their lives. And the other one, Breezy, who came on the show,
I heard Breezy. She's so cool.
Yeah, she just got divorced, as she explained, but we were kind of okay with her husband, but it wasn't like we saw him as much as we saw her.
Right.
So it was kind of like we did a majority of our activities with just her and not her husband. And it was only when we spent time with both of them is when we were traveling to visit them or they would come here to visit us. So I guess I don't think I answered the question for you.
Well, I think there's another layer for us that we always caveat in there. And that is we aren't going to filter how we feel either. So if you feel some sort of way when you're around, we're not going to like hold back a statement because somebody might feel this way. If they feel that way when we make a statement, we're open to the discussion. We're open to having that conversation because that's how you grow as individuals. Mm-hmm. And for us, that's okay. So, but what Elsie said is true too. Majority of the time we might go see, you know, her where she was at and he wouldn't necessarily be around or do the same stuff with us, but we don't have to hide who we are around them. So we will be ourselves. They can be themselves. You're just nice. Like there's no reason to have animosity. unless, you know, somebody says something to somebody in that scenario. Other than that, I feel like, and Elsie, you might be able to explain it better if I'm not, if you're not yourself, even if you don't have a not ill will or a certain feeling about that person, if they come around and they become a regular picture in the, you know, gatherings or activities, they're not going to know the real you anyways. So why hide that? So why hide it?
And that's, and going back to that too, is why, I mean, I guess you can call this petty. I just don't go around people I don't like. And if someone says, oh, this person is going to be there, oh, well, you don't have to invite me. Don't feel bad because, you know, I don't care for this person. So I'm not going to come to your party and not be myself, because if myself is offending them, then I don't need to be around them.
Right.
Yep. Because we are quick to eliminate ourselves from something that might make somebody feel uncomfortable, because we're not going to change who we are when we come around. There's no point.
Us too. We will remove it, or we'll remove ourselves. Yeah. Yep.
So now I have a question. And since you both are parents, because this question has been presented to others that aren't, what are your thoughts on abuse versus discipline?
So I'll take this one, because we really talked about this one. I think it's more than just a parent question. I think that's a general question. Abuse is abuse. It just comes, abuse is the umbrella, and then it branches out to different types of abuse categories. But abuse is control. It's just a type of control. Anytime someone wants to control someone, they'll abuse them to get them to do what they need them to do, whether it's a child or a relationship or an animal. Abuse is a form of control. Discipline is an avenue for change. If I'm disciplining you, I'm seeing you going into a direction that may be of danger to you, or maybe a direction that you shouldn't go to, or maybe something that may be a little bit risque for you. Or maybe I think you could do it better because I understand who you are, and I think you can flourish in this direction. So I'm disciplining you in order to promote that change. But abuse is just a form of control. There's no use for it other than controlling the person or controlling the animal or controlling the situation. So when we talked about this, and we talk about it a lot, abuse is your avenue of controlling someone. If I don't want to do what you don't want me to do, then you will abuse me until I succumb or until I fall into a Stockholm syndrome type of behavior. But if you're disciplining me, even if it's a smack on the hand, if I'm about to touch fire, you're disciplining me to change my perspective that fire is hot and that I can hurt myself. You know, but abuse would mean I grab your hand and I put it over the fire so you can see that it's hot. And now you don't want to, because so now I've controlled your movement.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I could have not said that better myself. I love it. Like that. Yes, I love it.
I like it too. I like it. Listen, another true story. My middle daughter. Yeah. She was reaching toward flames and reaching toward different things, mm-hmm. like candles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So one day I was upstairs ironing my fatigues before Monday. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, she was reaching for it. And I was like, it's hot. And she reached for it. I said, it's hot. So I was like, all right. So I turned the iron to her and she touched it and it burned her fingertip. Right. And I said, see, hot. And she was holding her hand. Well, the next day, now this is the abuse part. The next day, mm-hmm. she's sitting at the kitchen table. Now she's about 2 years old. And I slid her a bowl of ice cream and I said, hot. And she started crying. Right. So now she understands what hot means. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just it's just that form. And people say discipline and abuse is a thin line, but is it? Is it really? Because when you abuse someone, I feel like inside you know that you went a step too far.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So right. I don't know. I
agree.
That's how we look at it. We have some, you know, and that could be, that's another podcast conversation, but I have personal experience with abuse. So that is really a tough subject and a touchy subject for me, because I understand the difference in abuse and discipline, because you have verbal and physical and mental and spiritual abuse. I mean, we have some preachers out here that are that are abusing their congregation right now verbally, but by getting into their head and intimidating them with fear. We have parents and people who may be abusing their kids, you know, in a certain manner that is just way above the normal. You have, you know, spouses who are abusing. That's that they have to know that. To me, that's just, I don't think there's a thin line. I think that line is very fat and you just have to sidestep into it, you know. Yes. So that's my opinion. People may not agree with us, and that's okay. They may not agree with anything that we've said today, but I want y'all to know that that is absolutely okay. We're okay with it. Don't send us any hate mail. We get enough of that. So just know that we are okay with you guys not agreeing.
Yes, this is a place where everyone can agree to disagree. So do not send them any hate mail because it will be blocked.
Please.
You will be blocked.
Right.
Well, but, I like that block feature.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm sorry to hear that you gotten hate mail. Like, that's crazy. That means
we're doing what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that's good. Yeah.
I was telling you, we did a 4-day series on microaggression in the workplace, and everyone absolutely know what happens. I mean, come on now. You know it happened. Microaggression happens. And a lot of us are guilty of it as well until you learn to do better. Because when you know better, you do better. I've been guilty. We've all been guilty of it. But as you learn to do better, you know better, you do better. But we recently got a comment from someone who said that our platform is a load of bullshit, that, you know, we try to tell people what they should say or think or what's happening in relationships or in the workplace. And we should just go F ourselves because we don't know what the hell we're talking about. And I mean, we've gotten that. And, you know, I commented back to them and I said, thank you. Thank you so much for your response. and then I deleted it and then I blocked them because that's the type of hate. His mind is blocked. His mind is completely closed off to anything other than what he's thinking, what he's feeling. He doesn't have room to hear any other perspectives or anything. I mean, I have a neighbor who I said I had experienced discrimination and microaggression in the workplace as a Black female, and she did not believe me. She refused to believe me. She said, that doesn't happen. I've never seen that happen. That doesn't happen. And so the people who are that closed-minded, they block it out because they feel like if it didn't happen to them, it doesn't happen. Right. You know, well, but that's not true.
And LC, I think you said that as well, or maybe I'm referencing something else, where at a certain age, you know somebody that doesn't want to learn. And why is it somebody else's job to teach them? Now, if somebody's open-minded and wants those discussions, that's what this stuff is for. You talk, you explain, people can listen. I get confused at why people are like, okay, I'm just going to be adamantly rude, take the time out of my day to listen to all this and just be negative. Like, you could have wasted your energy going somewhere else if you didn't agree with my point of view and not going to learn or have constructive criticism for it.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we can agree to disagree.
Exactly. Brian and Denise, this has been really, really wonderful. We thank you guys and gals so much for coming onto our podcast and sharing your story. Do you have any last words for the audience before we wrap up this special episode?
Before we give our last words, we want to just say what an honor it was for us to be here. We want to say thank you both, LC and Aaron, for being a platform that we can truly be ourselves. We want to say thank you for protecting us and for making us feel comfortable all at the same time.
And Aaron, thank you for your service, sir.
And I was going to say thank both of you for yours. We appreciate you coming on the show and just giving your perspective on the questions we've asked.
Yes, you're definitely welcome back. And thank you all for your services. Right.
Thank you, friends, for joining Brian and I in our welcomed conversation with LC and Aaron from the Interracial Perspective Maturity Not Included podcast with LC and Aaron. Follow them on YouTube, Twitter, and IG, and look for them on Spotify, Buzzsprout, and wherever you get your podcast fix. We were so delighted to be their guests. Now, as they would say, stay safe, stay positive, and always be true to yourself.
Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee time.
Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee time. Tell me what you really want to know. Girl, it ain't.